Hey, Catholic Divas. In this podcast, we are going to be talking about how to prepare for birth. And we're also going to be talking about the definition of labor. So come on into the podcast and let's hear Mama Vicky talk about labor and preparing for birth. Hey, this is Mama Jane.
And this is Mama Vicky. Welcome to the Cycles and Sanctity podcast.
I'm a Billings Ovulation Method instructor and a certified Catholic mindset coach.
And I'm a labor and delivery nurse, an IVCLC, and a La Leche League leader.
We're here to share with you the beauty and the pain of your cycles.
Have you considered honoring your cycle throughout the journey of your womanhood?
Have you ever considered your cycle as a tool towards your holiness?
Well, sisters, it is. We're excited to walk this journey with you.
So go grab your favorite journal and pen and your hot beverage, and let's do this. Welcome back, Catholic Divas. We have a very exciting podcast for you today. We're going to be talking about preparing for birth. Mama Vicky is an IVCLC. She is a labor and delivery nurse. She has lots and lots of experience and education under her belt. And when we had a conversation previously of like, what is her passion? Her passion, if she could hone it in, she told me preparing for birth seems to be like the most important thing. So, Mama Vicky, tell me why you think preparing for the birth is so important.
Hey, Catholic Divas. I just think so many women, when you get pregnant, you know, you get excited and we kind of are focused on the wrong things, like the gender reveal and what kind of clothes and what's the baby's room going to look like. And the actual process of birth is not talked about. And as a woman, you kind of have to know where to seek it out. And if you don't know to even seek it out, you won't get any information. I really believe, I mean, there's a lot that goes into preparing for birth and preparing for pregnancy and then supporting that pregnancy and all the way up to the birth. A lot of people think that labor just means pain and labor means work. And it's all how you view what your work is going to look like and how you cope throughout the birth process.
Vicky, I want to stop you right there because I want you to reiterate that many people equate labor as pain rather than labor as work.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit further.
Well, by definition in the Bible, labor is going to be, the childbirth will not be without discomfort.
Thank
God already told us that.
Thank you, Eve.
Thank you,
right?
Eve, right? And we can take that up later. That's a different podcast. However, it is doable. For millennia, we did not have hospitals. And people got through, and I'm not dissing hospitals. I'm just saying the birth process is a natural, normal form, a thing that women do to keep the human species going. Like I said in the other podcast, you know, women get to make the people. But yeah. If you don't know anything about labor, you've never read anything about the process or the whys that your body is doing this or why you're feeling this, and you're not coached on how to deal with it, your very first time you go into labor, You're very overwhelmed. It's a very, like, you can't imagine how this kind of work feels. And I like to equate it to running a marathon. If I thought, you know what, I think I want to run a marathon, I could not go outside and just start running 26.2 miles or whatever it is. I couldn't make it. And so I would have to learn, you know, teach myself how to build up. Well, what goes into a marathon? Well, you have to be sure your body's ready. You've got to do the right stretches. You've got to eat the right food. You've got to time when you eat, get enough rest. There's a lot that goes into it. And if I tell you right now, if I went out and tried to run a marathon, I don't know if I'd make it to mile one, and I would be panicking about the lack of oxygen and how to breathe. And I would be like, this is horrible. I can't do this. And if it was a process I couldn't stop, women tend to panic. And as a human species, when a person is experiencing extreme anxiety or panic, it's very hard to control how you're reacting.
Yeah. You know what? That is so really awesome that you said that. About that marathon aspect, because for me personally, when I had labor with my firstborn, it was a long labor. It was over 12 hours. Well, that's, I know. Anyway, but I had a lull and I actually fell asleep. Mm-hmm. And they were going to take me in to do a C-section because I wasn't progressing. And then they had an emergency C-section that they had to take care of. And that lull was just enough that I kind of like woke up and then I was just literally ready to birth.
So that's a great example, because That is a normal part of labor.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
That is a normal part of labor. Towards the end, your body does give you a break to kind of get that end energy, because laboring gets you to 10 centimeters where you're able to birth.
Yeah.
And you need a break between getting to the 10 centimeters and the actual birth process.
That's where I was leading that, because I didn't know that. I wasn't prepared for that. And it seemed like the medical community didn't understand that either, because they literally said, you're not progressing.
Well, that's a whole other can.
I know it is. But here's the thing is that the next time I gave birth, I did the same thing. The fourth child that I had, I actually went to a birthing class that you're talking about that, you know, I don't know how many weeks it was, 6 weeks or something. And they talked about it. It was the first time that I had heard that this was a normal way that a woman births, is that she has this lull. And it was just so amazing. It's kind of like, for me personally, because I'm the fertility educator, it's like the first time I explain to a woman that this slippery mucus is normal, like her eyes light up and she's like, oh my gosh, I know what that is. You're like, yeah. She goes, but I never knew what it was. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it was. It's like, and it gave me that confidence, and it gave my husband confidence in that this is a normal way. Before that, you know, by baby number three, he and I just kind of looked at like, well, this is just how you labor. I don't know if this is normal, but this is how you labor. Right. But then when I heard about it through a birthing class that this is normal thing that your body will do, it gave me more of a confidence that I kind of wasn't abnormal. Like this is to be expected.
Sure. And that's the whole point of taking classes, so that you can be educated. If you don't know that it's an option, there's also women that don't get that lull. There's women that come in, go into labor, and they kick a baby out in an hour. So as with everything in our human body, the spectrum of normal is a very wide spectrum. But when you go to a childbirth class, you're going to at least hear about the different possibilities. So then if you're the one where your labor seems to take a lull, that you'll be like, oh, wait, I heard about this. Or if you're like, hey, fast and furious, like, oh, I heard about this and I am on the normal path of things. It also, you know, I tease my patients. I said, you know, the only thing labor nurses really do is keep reminding you to breathe. And we are breathing coaches. And we do, because the contraction is not going to last forever. Contractions build and then they peak and then they decline. It doesn't just stay in a state of extreme pain. And between your contractions, you get a break. Your body is not hurting. Now, sometimes if the contractions are coming strong, it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting any break. But if you're educated on the process, you're going to know, okay, even though this next one's coming strong, I know how to breathe. You know, I went to class and this is how I know, you know, breathe in slowly, slow my breathing. The only thing you need to do during contraction is concentrating on your breathing. Contractions are involuntary. They happen whether you're doing it, no matter what you're doing. So you can focus on controlling your breathing. And honestly, education is going to help you have the birth experience you want. And I highly recommend going to a class of wherever you're going to deliver, whether it's a hospital, a birth center, or a home birth. You work very, very closely with your midwife on the expectations. Just an example is, if you're going to birth in a hospital, they are going to want what's called IV access. You don't always have to have fluids running in, but you do have to have, they highly, highly recommend that way. If there is an emergency, they already have a way to help you, to support you. If you need fluids, if you need blood, things like that, they're not trying to scramble and get it later. That's why they do it, because that's how a hospital runs it. And, you know, if you didn't know that and you thought, hey, I'm just going to go in birth, and all of a sudden it feels very like you're being attacked, or it doesn't feel safe. And that's the other thing. Educating yourself, knowledge equals competence. And when you're overwhelmed or scared, you don't know, you can make a better decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you know, okay, this is just their procedure, it's right. Not so scary.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like what I was talking about in another podcast about expectation of a kindergartner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's this little five-year-old that's never been to school before, has heard about school, maybe has seen the yellow buses, or, you know, I'm talking about classical public school, but they don't really know what school looks like. And then they go and meet the teacher and they see where they're going to sit. They see their little cubby, they see the cafeteria, and they see some of their classmates. And then the level of anxiety goes down.
Right. So even though they haven't been to a, quote, day of kindergarten, they've at least familiarize themselves somewhat with the scenario.
Yes, that's right. Well, we've got, speaking of school, we've got a school bus passing by. But and that's really what the benefit of childbirth classes are for, to lower that anxiety.
Yes, for both partners, you know, so for the mother and father, or the mother and with a birth team, she, you know, birth friend, or however that works out. You know, a lot of times dads really know less than moms do about giving birth.
So you
probably have at least talked to another woman at some point in your life before you're pregnant about what it looks like. Now, women are notorious for giving horror stories.
Yes.
Personally, I have 8 children and my labors were not that hard. My fourth one was an emergency C-section. That's a whole different story. But the labor part of it was not that difficult. And I think definitely because of classes, you know, Jane, you were saying you didn't take Bradley until your fourth kiddo. I didn't take it till my sixth kiddo.
Right.
But I still got benefits, even though I knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You just get more, the more knowledge is power. You really can't stop learning. And there's always something new to know.
And that is something I want to go back to what you had said about as far as like the husband or the birth team that you've surrounded yourself with, going to the birthing classes as well, because that was actually a change with Steve, with my husband. Now, for whatever reason, I don't even know, like I look back, but our first birth, he was just very in tune with me. And I remember the labor and delivery nurse, she happened to also teach the birthing classes, mm-hmm. and she did a double shift. She came in the next day and she just kept asking him, like, have you ever experienced another birth? Like, I've never seen a dad so in tune.
You do find those. As a labor and delivery nurse, you do have some couples that are naturals.
Yeah.
Didn't go to any classes, but they are very in tune with each other.
It was crazy. But I mean, she actually asked him, like, would you mind coming to the class and helping? And he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But what I was going to say was, when we had that Bradley class, even though, like you said, we were pregnant with our fourth, and we thought, and at first he was like, why are we doing this? I mean, you know, we lived in Leavenworth at Kansas City. It was like an hour. It was on a weeknight. We had to get a babysitter for the other kids. You know, we were surrounded by all these other couples that first time, you know, pregnancies. And he just kept thinking, why are we doing this? But I will say, when I actually started having signs of labor, he pulled out the Bradley book and looked at it and said, oh, you know what? It looks like you're still in this stage. Mm-hmm. And he was a little bit more confident. It was interesting to watch him, based on the learning that he learned from the classes as well.
Sure. Well, and in class, from my experience of taking classes and teaching classes, dad being educated as well helps, because, you know, it's a lot for dads. They don't know how to help. I mean, they can't fix your labor pains. They can't fix that. They can be supportive, but a lot of dads get really overwhelmed. And that's where, like, I have women that come in and want a natural birth. And again, how epidural or no epidural is a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. But if they decide they came in wanting a natural birth, and then starts to get hard, and their partner who's supposed to be supporting them is like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Do something, make her feel better. It knocks down her confidence.
Right.
So the classes give you the opportunity to talk about, like, what is this going to look like, and explore your feelings and reassure dad that she's okay. This is not life-threatening. And that's the other thing about classes. When we took it, it was our sixth kid, and it was kind of cool to see where our experience that we'd already had kind of helped the first time dads, mm-hmm. like in the coffee break or whatever in the class. Experienced families can help the new families. And like I said, usually when you go to a class, if you don't learn a lot, you at least learn one thing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, you know, but I always learned a lot. And even when I teach these birthing classes, getting feedback from parents can give you different perspectives on what people need to mm-hmm. feel confident in birthing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Also, you're talking about the community, right? Is one of the things with my last child, we chose to have the birth at a birthing center. And because it was at a birthing center and I brought my kids, there was one particular appointment that we had that the kids could hear a mother birthing. And one of my kids came up, like, they were literally screaming, and they're like, what's going on, mom? I'm like, she's having a baby. And then 10, 15 minutes later, we heard the baby crying. Mommy, I go, that was the baby. But the thing is that that's part of the sadness for me of modern day medicine, is that we don't have that red tent, right? Like, sometimes a woman has never seen a baby be born, seen pregnancy, held a baby. I mean, I remember with my very best friend, we were both in the military. She came over and we have pictures in the baby book of her like holding this child, like with fear because mm-hmm. she never babysat. She was the youngest of two brothers. She didn't have a large family. Like, so birthing and pregnancy and little babies were terrifying for her. And
that's a lot of America. I mean, that we don't have big families like we used to. A lot of people, I mean, we're a Catholic community, so many of you probably do. But those of you that don't, that's the norm in America. And so, yeah, you go through life and you don't see it. So it's all new.
Mm-hmm.
It just is confident. You know, I tell my patients that, you know, if they have never had a contraction, it feels like if your thigh muscles and your glute muscles and your abdomen tighten, like harder than you could tighten them on your own, as hard as you can involuntarily.
Yeah.
It sort of feels like that. Cause people, you know, over the years, people have told me they feel like period cramps. I do not think a true contraction feels anything like a period cramp. Like, and if you're having those kind of periods, that is also concerning.
Yes.
But again, if you look at it from a work perspective, you know, heavy lifters, when they're lifting barbells, they squeeze those muscles, mm-hmm. contract those muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And the uterus's job is to contract. So it thins your cervix out and opens it up and opens the passageway for the baby. So it should be very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know that and you just feel this overwhelming, incredibly strong contraction, like I said before, if you've never heard that this is going to happen or you have skewed reality on what it's going to look like if mm-hmm. you've only seen a movie or your friend's horror stories, then it's just hard to manage. So there's just a huge benefit to a birth class. And I also recommend if you search in the community and you find a birth class that you want to take, I still highly recommend taking whatever version your hospital, your doctor's clinic, wherever you're going has to offer, because that's going to familiarize you with the place you give birth. I think I already mentioned it, but I just want to reinforce that women need to feel safe birthing. To have a good birth, there's a whole, again, another podcast, could be birth trauma. But to avoid that, you need to feel safe. And how do we feel safe? We are familiar with our surroundings. You're the most vulnerable a woman will be is in labor, because yeah. you can't really run anywhere.
That's right.
You're stuck in the spot you're in. And if you think tigers are coming, you're not going to be ready to birth. It's going to be much more painful mm-hmm. because you're going to be anxious and scared and the cortisol is going to be taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is not the case and you're safe and you're like, okay, this is hard, but you know, I have my husband's next to me and you know, the nurse, I trust her, or the midwife or the doctor, whoever's in here, you know, I know this is good.
Yeah.
You can relax and relax into the feeling that it's going to be okay, even though the work is hard.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Cause you know, thinking back on my birth, especially that first one, right? Is like, you're right. You don't know. And even though we had gone to the hospital childbirth classes that we were required to go to, and you don't know what to expect, I was a week early, which is kind of unheard of. Well, I mean, for the first one, you know, whatever. Anyway, but I remember when they finally admitted me, because we went and then they told me to go walk around. I came back and then they finally admitted me and I called Steve. I was feeling very anxious until he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he was there, and like I said, I mean, it was really God's grace, because not to say that he hasn't acted like this with the other births, he has. He really stepped up to the Papa Bear, protecting me and questioning and really being my advocate, which is, I think that's the other aspect of it, is finding the team that can be your advocate.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we've never really kind of talked about until, I know with my last one, a couple of weeks later, I had a life-threatening event. And I needed an advocate, but I was wise enough by then that was the words I needed. And I knew who to call. And I just, that's exactly what I told her. I was like, Chrissy, I need an advocate. I don't have energy to fight for myself. I need you to step up and come to me. And she was amazing and called the hospital and got me all of the things that I needed and everything like that. But that's also really important, is finding the team.
Well, and without education, if this is your first pregnancy, you don't even know how to choose an advocate. You don't know
yeah.
what that even means.
Right.
That's, again, another good reason. Fun fact, guys, so many women go in, they think they're in labor. They go to the hospital just to be told, you're not in labor. You need to go home. Come back if it continues. The definition of labor is when these contractions change your cervix. So women can contract. There's a lot of women that do contract before they're actually in true labor. Now, there's all sorts of names for it. Braxton Hicks, false labor. None of it to me is false. If your uterus is contracting, it's tuning up. And some of us are just more sensitive. There are women that kind of contract from month five on, but it is not defined as labor until you're making cervical change. So if you're one of those mamas that goes to the hospital and gets really annoyed that, gosh, I'm in labor and they won't keep me. Well, hey, you don't want to go to the hospital too early.
No.
Once you're at the hospital, you can't eat your own food. You can't shower like you want to because you need to be on a monitor. There's just a lot of restrictions that are for safety. But if you're in early labor, that can be done at home very, mm-hmm. very, very safely. Mm-hmm. And you can eat and you can mm-hmm. sleep, take a shower, walk around your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, with my last kiddo, I'd never had my water break. Yes, I was the opposite of Jane. I had to be kickstarted into labor. And my water broke on her due date, and all my other kids were at least a week, if not 2 weeks late. So I was like, whoa, I'm not ready. And I walked around my neighborhood for a couple hours, and I was like, okay, I should probably get serious. This seems to be happening. So it's my eighth time, I called my midwife, and she kind of coached me through it. Like, yeah, you're okay. This is normal. This is happening. Yes, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll let you make decisions. There's so many, like anything in parenting, there's just all sorts of sides to how you can do it. And everybody thinks they're right. So you've got grandma telling you one thing and auntie telling you another thing and best friend telling you another thing and maybe your provider telling you yet another thing. And it's very hard to discern which route do I want to go. A childbirth class can help you get the definitions of all the things that could go on during labor and help you make the decision you want to make.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of those things that we also learned when we went to the Bradley class. I remember going to that first class that we were required to. And then the other two pregnancies, I don't think I even went.
Well, nowadays, we don't even require. There are requirements. There's no requirements. I wish that OB clinics would make mandatory classes. Not because I'm cruel and want everybody to have to endure a class they don't need, but it makes you think you don't need them. I mean, many of us just rely on what our doctors tell us. And if we're not told, hey, you need to take a class, you don't even think about taking a class.
Well, going back to your analogy of the marathon, which is exactly what I love. I always felt like I was a marathon just because
it is.
I mean, you might not say that was long, but 12 to 14 hours was kind of a typical for me. And that's the problem is that if you're not encouraged to go to some sort of education of what to expect, what decisions do I need to make? How do I go about this? Then you're stepping into the starting gate of a marathon. And then, like you said, everything is
unknown. So if you think about it, if you're going to run a marathon, again, you need to know what does it take to train up to a marathon? What kind of foods do you need to be eating? When do you need to be eating these foods? What kind of shoes do you need? Does it matter? Can you run a marathon in sandals or do you need good running shoes? What kind of socks? And all of those things go into a successful marathon. So same with birth. You just need to know all your options of what works best for you. And here's where I want to test on, you know, pregnancy is a great, that is the time you need to be thinking about how you're going to feed your baby. Today, everybody in America, you are told breastfeeding is best. And that's it. That's where it ends. The act of breastfeeding is natural, not always super intuitive or easy. And so if you're told, hey, the best thing is this, and then you feel like your baby's not getting it, you have all these doubts and you don't have any education because you know what? The transition from birthing to breastfeeding, it's pretty instant.
Mm-hmm.
So your birth class is where you're going to get a little bit of information on ideas of how you want to feed your baby and then the resources to go educate yourself on that. And both of these things are things I love to teach. And I'm going to be offering a condensed class coming up on the 22nd that I would love for you guys to tune into.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be fabulous. So you're just going to kind of do an introduction class of like kind of the basics and then have them opportunity to ask questions mm-hmm. and really kind of delve into it. And guys, again, we're just trying to provide resources for you so that if this is something you need, and maybe even if you're thinking about getting pregnant, mm-hmm. I mean, come to this. These are kind of good questions and education.
Well, like with La Leche League, La Leche League is a breastfeeding support group. It's a nonprofit organization. And we recommend moms that are pregnant to come to our meetings
mm-hmm.
because although they don't have a baby to breastfeed, they will see other mothers doing it.
Yes.
And they can ask their questions and get it addressed before they actually have to do it. So it just makes sense to educate before, not after the fact.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And really, that is really kind of where the wisdom wellness coaching part comes in, because sometimes we just don't know where to go to acquire the information.
Exactly.
And to ask the right, because sometimes we just don't even know what to ask, right?
Correct.
Like, I didn't know to ask those types of questions. And going back to the experience of me where I would fall asleep, I mean, I just attributed that I was literally exhausted. I'd been laboring since 6, and this was like 10 o'clock at night, and they hadn't let me eat because I was admitted. And I was literally just absolutely exhausted. I needed water. I needed something to eat. And I just took a nap. And if I had known that that was something normal, I think it would have helped us.
Right. You wouldn't have been so overwhelmed. Like, oh my gosh, have the feeling of I'm never going to eat or drink again. And this is going south.
Yes.
When it completely wasn't going south.
Right. Right.
Which, by the way, guys, you can drink water in labor now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, just in the class, I'll also touch on where we tell you get support. Well, where do you get this support? That's another way. Like I've mentioned Lily Jalig, and then there is a thing called a doula. A doula, the definition of a doula is mothering the mother. So the doula's job is to be your advocate, is to, in labor, even if you're prepared, it gets overwhelming. So if you're like in the bed and you're like, I'm so uncomfortable, it's so terrible. Like in labor, often a woman can't think, well, I'm uncomfortable in the bed, so let me get up. But your doula will. She will be like, okay, this is uncomfortable. Let's do this new position. And if you're like, oh, that's awful, and I'll do, well, then let's do this position. So they help guide you get through labor. They're your coach. And then today they even have postpartum doulas, which again, that's a whole other podcast that we will definitely be doing on the fourth trimester, the postpartum, the immediate 4 to 6 weeks after you have a baby and all that entails. And a lot of it, you need a lot of just validation and encouragement, because we can do it. We were built to do this. We were built to have babies. We were built to feed them. And it's definitely in our toolbox of things we can accomplish. But how well are you going to accomplish them kind of depends on your team.
Right. Right.
And your confidence level.
Yes.
Education.
Yeah.
How to get it.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's fabulous. And I'm just so excited that you're going to be offering this class, because, again, I kind of think of like, yeah, I mean, what we don't know, we don't know, right? And how much more, like you said, how calmer can we come? And where do we ask the questions? And then sometimes I know for myself, whenever I go to any kind of new teaching, I mean, it's amazing. I have this website that they actually provide free training every Tuesday night. And the first time I went, I was just like, I don't even know what to ask. And I just listened to other people. And then because of their issues of what they wanted to do, then it brought on other questions, which is why it's so important to kind of like come as a community, because maybe somebody asks a question that you hadn't thought of.
Hey, you didn't even know to ask. And now it was a question you had, but didn't know. And now you have the answer.
And then it also may spark another question that you may have, which they never thought of either. So it really builds that camaraderie, and it's just going to be fabulous.
And not only with the technical things, the actual definition of the different things in labor, the procedures that different hospital, home birth center provide, don't provide. Labor is as diverse as people.
Yes.
So I do this for a living. And sometimes you come in and humor is where these people want to get through this. They want to laugh. They want to tell jokes. They want to watch a funny movie. Music. I cannot recommend music enough, whatever your jam is. And I'm here to tell you, your labor nurse does not care. Whatever gives you peace and comfort, whether it's country, rock, classical, gospel,
hip hop.
That's right. You cue that up, because if it makes you happy, I mean, you got to think of the things that soothe you. And a lot of times that can go off rail. You don't need to bring an arsenal of things, because labor is really hard and you're going to be complete. You know, when you're running that marathon, music might help, but aromatherapy, maybe not so much.
Right.
In the act of labor or act of the running, before and after, yes. But when you're laboring, you're pretty concentrated. Mm-hmm. But if you are a softer, more huggy, touchy person, keep that in mind. You may want your partner to be right up on you, physically touching you. And if you're more reserved, you're more modest, you might request, like, I really want to keep my shirt on the whole time. I mean, so, but classes will allow you the opportunity to even, again, it's kind of that experience, like, I didn't even know to ask that. I had no idea to even think that. And you'll be like, wow.
It gives you confidence.
I think that's the bottom line.
It'll lower the anxiety and it build the confidence. Because again, like you said, women have been birthing since the beginning of creation. And it's a normal thing. And it's one of our superpowers of birthing. And you and I have both spoken about how we have become more confident through our birthing.
Absolutely.
Our birthing experience has given us this knowingness and this,
strength
that we didn't, sometimes we don't even know that we had until we've done it. And yeah, it is something so powerful, just like a marathon. I mean, like, not everybody runs a marathon, you know, but those who are trained and can finish it, I mean, it is amazing and they can think about it. And birthing is the same way. It's like, you have just done this fantastic thing of bringing a new life into the world. Like, you need to be celebrated. So please, we're just going to encourage you. We're going to drop the link in the show notes, but also it'll be in the Facebook group. So come on over into the Facebook group. And if you want, you can DM us, get the link so that you can come to the class, bring your partner, bring your husband, bring your team if you want, or just come by yourself and just kind of, this is going to be an initial birthing class and we'll go from there on what you all need. So is there anything else you want to share?
I think we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I'm excited too.
You just rock. You're just so amazing.
I guess the last thing, birth is not something to fear, ladies. We were built to do it. It is not a fearful thing. It is a job and we can do hard things.
So we can do hard things.
Let's work together and make your birth experience fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to close with our scripture verse from Ephesians. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine by the power at work with us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Till next week, Divas, we look forward to seeing you and we look forward to seeing you in the class.
Hey, Catholic Divas, I want to invite you to my birth and breastfeeding workshop called Trusting Your Body's Birth and Breastfeeding Powers. It's on April 22nd, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. The link is in the show notes or head on over to our Facebook group. I'm going to be giving you quick tips on how to prepare for birth and breastfeeding and ways to empower your God-given abilities. I look forward to seeing you all Monday night.